This podcast is brought to you by Voice and Vision, bringing help, hope, and healing to individuals, families, and communities affected by mental illness, addictions, and disabilities in southeastern Pennsylvania. Financial support for this podcast is provided by a Veterans Trust Fund grant from the Pennsylvania Department of Military and Veterans Affairs.
Welcome to Untold Valor, a podcast with a unique focus on veterans, featuring stories of courage, recovery, perseverance, and strength. Listen to hear veterans share their perspectives on what it's like to battle mental health challenges, combat addictions, and overcome other adversities unique to those who have served.
Welcome to this edition of Untold Valor, a podcast with a unique focus on veterans with stories of courage, recovery, perseverance, and strength. Listen as veterans share their perspectives on what it's like to battle mental health challenges, combat addictions, and overcome other adversities unique to those who have served. Looking forward to this week's edition here on the podcast. As always, we have some great guests that join us. And continuing on with our March theme, which is March was all about women this month, we're going to be talking with Lena Fowler, a decorated United States Navy veteran of 17 years, including Operation Desert Storm and at Ground Zero in the aftermath of September the 11th. So Lena's going to be joining us. Lena, welcome in. Thank you so much. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fine.
Very good to have you here. And of course, Reverend Ben's with me as always. Reverend Ben, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How you doing, Lena?
Doing good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Look forward to chatting with you about your experience. So we kind of keep it simple, Lena, just to kick things off. Tell us a little bit about you and in your time in the service. And I kind of touched on it. Obviously, you spent 17 years. So thank you for your service. And just kind of start us there.
I went in the Navy at the age of 20. I had a tragedy in my family. And I had two babies and I had to figure out how to secure their future. Mm. So I decided to go in the Navy, in which my oldest brother was in the Navy. Best decision I ever made. Being 20 years old, never leaving home, grew up in a church. Mm. Of course, I tried to do everything I was big enough to do that I couldn't do at home. Mm-hmm. I got kicked out of two schools and I got stationed at a Naval Hospital Charleston. That was my first duty station. And from there, I got sent to Desert Storm. So when I got sent to Desert Storm, I was 22 years old. And of course, you know, being in your early 20s, you don't think you're going to die. You think you're going to live forever, that you can do any and everything.
Right.
And I literally tried to do any and everything. At the age of 22, I didn't realize how serious war was until I actually got there. When I got there, my order said 30 days. The admiral came by and said, hey, by the way, your orders have been extended indefinitely.
Yeah.
By then, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. But I was out there for 9 months, met some amazing people. Of course, I saw tragedies, war, unfortunately. Because I was stationed at a hospital, I didn't see action, but I saw the results of war. Mm. Moving forward, I came back to Charleston, South Carolina, reenlisted, went to Norfolk, Virginia, and then I got stationed on board a ship. So my first ship was a sub tender. We were 60% women, 40% men, and I qualified for a program which is called CAP, where the captain can advance the top 5% of crew members. So I didn't have to take an exam to advance to the next pay grade. It was pretty much given to me. There was a senior chief on my boat, and we're still friends today. Senior Chief DePlessis, he ran past me one day and he said, the Lord is getting ready to bless you. Hmm. Didn't have a clue what the man was talking about. Heard it over the PA system. My name was the first name called where I was advanced to the next pay grade. At that time, I still didn't take things seriously. I wanted to party and have fun and act like I had no home training. So I appreciate the fact that throughout my military career, I always had a covering. My first ship decommissioned. So I was a part of the decommissioning crew. And then I had the option to go to an aircraft carrier to be one of the first women to go on an aircraft carrier or to go on a brand new ship. So I opted to go on a brand new ship. So my second ship was USS Arctic, and I'm a plank owner. So if the ship was still a USS, whenever I go on that ship, they would have to announce my coming and my going.
Oh.
So I thought that was, you know, pretty cool.
Yeah.
Did the first med cruise on that ship. And when I came back from the med cruise, that's when I got out the Navy. And I figured I needed my time to continue. I joined the Army Reserve. I was in there less than a year because someone came to me and said, hey, if you want to go to school and go to school for free, join the New Jersey Army National Guard. Tuition is 100%. Plus, on top of having a GI Bill that would cover my books and my fees.
Yeah.
So I jumped out of the Army Reserve. And at that time, I was transitioning into corrections, New Jersey Corrections. So it worked out perfectly. I got out of the Army Reserve. I started corrections and I started the guard. So in the guard, while I was in there, I was at a lineup and the captain said, whose name did I not call? And I raised my hand and he was like, yeah, come to center control. So went to center control and he told me my unit was activated for 9/11. So we were boots on the ground for 9/11. We were literally in New York City with everything going on.
Wow.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Wow. It's just amazing. Just one thing after the other, right? Just going and going and going. As you were talking about being in the Navy and on the aircraft carrier, my daughter is on a station on a new ship as well as the aircraft carrier. And so it kind of resonates with me a little bit. And Reverend Ben as well, because he was a corpsman, right?
Yes, I was a corpsman in the Navy with the Marines.
Nice. FMS school?
Yep, FMF.
They sent me to FMS after the war, and I wasn't even a corpsman.
What?
When we got ready to start the podcast, folks, she said, oh no, I'm on here with, I think she said, you're a PK, right? You said you're on here
yes.
with a preacher. She was getting a little nervous. But it's all good stuff. So anyway, tell us, continue on. Sorry. So September 11th, you were ground zero.
So after, you know, they released us, you know, from our duties, less than 6 months later, we had to do the bridges and the tunnels. So I was still working for New Jersey DOC and found out I was able to double dip. So the state paid me as if I came to work every day while I was playing military. So we were on a 3-week rotation and I did 3 tours on a rotation back to back. So I was going for 9 weeks on that. And then I decided, hey, I want to go to school to be a mechanic. So they sent me to school to be a mechanic. I think I was in school for like 6 or 7 weeks. So I was going 9 weeks plus the 6 to 7 weeks for school. And then once I finished school, then I did another 6 weeks on the bridges and tunnels.
Wow.
And I got paid by, again, the state of New Jersey, DOC, and the guard. Then I had a stroke.
You had a stroke?
Yes, I had a stroke.
Wow.
January 14, 2003, 2 days after drill.
Wow. And so did that cause you, I mean, obviously, is that what kind of ended your career or did you continue on?
No, that ended my career.
Yeah.
My doctor still to this day would not release me to such a hostile environment.
Wow. So let me ask you. So obviously you saw a lot of stuff there. One of the things we do here on the podcast, Lena, obviously, is share stories for folks, you know, to hopefully find some resonance in their own story about dealing with whatever issues they might be. Did you, with, you know, with everything you saw in Desert Storm, then, of course, you know, 9/11, did you have some residual PTSD from that? Did you seek out some help? Because I want to talk about what you're doing now, because you are a community outreach specialist in the Veterans Multi-Service Center. In the Philadelphia area. So I was just curious if you kind of had some issues there, and is that what led you to continue, you know, helping others?
So while I was in school, I just graduated from Bucks County Community College last year.
Uh-huh.
And my professor, I would literally come to school, but I wouldn't go to class. I would sit in the Veterans Lounge and, you know, it was hybrid. So my professor, she was like, Lena, where are you? I was like, oh, I'm upstairs. And she's like, well, you need to be in class. I'm like, yeah, no. And as she paid attention to what I was and wasn't doing, mm-hmm. she said, hey, I think you need to be evaluated for PTSD.
Mm.
And I thought about it and I procrastinated where she was like, okay, if you're in the building, once I get done teaching this class, I am going to personally take you to the VA hospital and get you evaluated because this enough is enough. And it wasn't an issue where I was going off the rails. It's just that I just wanted to be by myself. I would come home. I live alone. Mm-hmm. So I would come home. I wouldn't turn on nothing, not a light, not a TV, nothing. Take a shower, go to bed. I'm just happy. Wouldn't even answer my phone. And my best friend, we talk at least every other day, if not every day. And a couple of times she had to call my mother like, hey, I haven't talked to Jazz. have you heard from her? You know, what's going on? And my mother would call me and say, hey, have you talked to Carolyn? No. You know, she's been trying to call you. Yeah. Well, I'm going to need you to call her. So this particular professor, she's not just a professor, but she's also the county commissioner for Butts County.
Mm.
And she's a personal friend. So while going to school, while transitioning into the being diagnosed and getting help, I actually was the president of the Veterans Club at Butts County Community College. And I had my own group of advisors. And what I appreciate the most about my advisors is that they knew how to handle me. They saw me in all four seasons of my life. They saw me through when my father passed away. I don't handle death well at all. So especially with somebody that I served with, I had a Desert Storm brother that passed away. And I think I was in this apartment in the bed for like 3 or 4 days.
Mm.
I just couldn't function knowing that my baby brother passed away.
And so I think a lot of veterans can relate to that, right? We, you know, certainly have those struggles of trying to deal with whatever, you know, PTSD might be haunting them. And then at the same time, having that person to kind of reach out and help kind of get you that lending hand, if you will, you know, is hugely beneficial. Reverend Ben's talked about that in his own story. And most of the veterans that come on here talk about that. And I think that's really one of the reasons why we do this podcast is to say, you know, you can get some help. There's people out there that are wanting and looking to help folks who need it.
Well, you know what? I found out that for me, that was very helpful. And I find interesting for a person like me is that I have a tendency to connect with people mm-hmm. that know how to handle me, for the lack of better words, both spiritually and naturally.
Interesting.
So when I lost my dad, of course, I was in a dark place. He was a bishop, and he was also an educator. And when he would preach funerals, he'd make me so doggone mad. He'd be like, yeah, we all got to go this way. And I'd be like, Dad, really? Like, why you got to say that? So when I lost him, I literally sat here and argued with God. And I'm like, God, you said in Isaiah 53. And then God was, well, what did I say in Proverbs? So I have to acknowledge the fact that he gave my dad the years that he promised him.
Mm.
But what happened with my brother Dusty, who didn't even make 50? But then I have to realize that, you know, sometimes when we transition, when people transition, it's either because they met the requirement, so they're empty. There's nothing left for them to do. Or they lived the years that God promised them. It's only, or because of the time and that we live in now, sometimes God snatches us out of here so that because we can't handle what's to come, all these shootings, you know, these viruses, and, you know, it's just so much stuff going on in the world. So I had to come to some type of reality of God's word being fulfilled. And I'm not trying to be too preachy, but that's kind of what keeps me going. So I have two sets of godparents. One set is still alive. And I called my godmother and said, Ma, I got to do this podcast, but I don't want to appear too preachy and I don't want to appear too churchy. Mm-hmm. But my reality is, throughout my military career, I always had a covering. There was always someone there that covered me. My senior chief, he was a preacher. He's a preacher. My pastor, he was a warrant officer in the Navy. When I was in the war, I had a choir, and we had a chaplain who was a preacher in real life. You know, it just wasn't his job. That was his life. My second ship, there was a preacher on there. So there's always been someone. When I would go left, there was always someone to push me to the right.
Interesting. So, well, you know, with Reverend Ben here, let me bring him in, since this is his neck of the woods here. Reverend, you know, what do you take from this? What does that kind of say to you?
Well, Dina, I can really identify with your story. A lot of things that you say, I went through it the same as well. And I was covered. I was covered, and I am today. And that's why I'm still here today, because I've been in some situations where some folk didn't come home. And, you know, it's by the grace of God that I made it home. You know, we have to share this with other veterans to let them know that this is something that most of us experience. And yes, there is a solution. And one solution that I believe is, like you said, Lena, is a spiritual component as well. Yes, I believe that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Lena, tell us a little bit about what you're doing now with the VMC Center.
So with VMC, I do community outreach. And because I'm coming in the door with experience and well-connected, and particularly to my community, Bucks County, I am trying to, and so far, thank God, I have been successful with connecting VMC to Bucks County, where because now we're starting to meet the needs of veterans in Bucks County. So it's easy for me to call Congressman Brian Fitzpatrick's office and say, hey, Mac, this is Lena. This is what I need. Can you help me? Or I can call the county commissioner and say, hey, this is what we need. Or I can call Delaware County Director of Veterans Affairs and say, hey, it's me. This is what we're doing. Are you on board with it? So I am actually hands-on with veterans, but not as much as I am with the other organizations.
But that support is going back towards veterans, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's really the point, right, is trying to kind of give back. And I think most of the veterans we've had on the show talk about that. When they hit bottom or they hit wherever was going on, it was, you know, kind of finding their way forward for themselves, but then also realizing, and Reverend Ben, you say this all the time too, is helping another person really helps yourself.
Exactly. In order to keep it, you got to give it away.
Yep. Very, very well. Well, Lena, thank you so much for being here. So we kind of wrap things up. We usually with a kind of a basic question of, if you were sharing a message to other veterans who are listening, who maybe struggle, who maybe were in some places that you were in or similar and thinking, you know, I'm not sure how to get help or do I want help or whatever that might look like, what kind of message would you share with them?
Find someone you can trust. Be open to strangers, because the Bible said we entertain angels unaware. When you dealing with a stranger, it's a blank slate. Like they have no influence of someone else about you or about your situation. And you never know. There are actually people out there that are available and willing to help change our life. And it can be something as simple as a good morning or a good afternoon or how you doing. Have a good day. Don't take those things for granted, because it literally can change your attitude and your altitude. But definitely get connected with other veterans, other resources. There's a ton of resources out there, VMC. We are open arms for veterans that need help. We offer a plethora of sources and services. And what we can't do, we can definitely refer them out. I personally connected with New York, our New York veterans, NYC veterans, and I get in support groups. So there's a group in New York called Guardian Revival. So I'm bringing them to VMC. We have the Veterans Breakfast Club, where it's literally a breakfast. And actually, the Veterans Breakfast Club will be doing a presentation at Bucks County Community College April 29th. But the goal is to let VMC see what the Veterans Breakfast Club do, so that we can partner with the City of Philadelphia to bring the Breakfast Club to Philadelphia. So we got a lot of stuff going on, but definitely as a veteran, you have to stay connected to another veteran. I don't necessarily, like a lot of people say, the government needs to take care of veterans, which is true. But the reality is that we need to take care of ourselves and each other.
Great point.
I am our brother's keeper.
Yeah.
I got your six. So this is not just words. We got to live what we say.
That's a great point. That's a great point. It's a great way to end the podcast as well. So reach out to other veterans. And that's what the team at Voice and Vision do as well. And CompUre Corps. So as always, we'll have some information for you coming up here at the end of the podcast. We'll have some stuff in the show notes as well. We'll put some links and information to the VM Center for Lena as well in the show notes. So make sure you check all that out. And as always, thank you for your time. Lena, thanks for being here on the podcast. Reverend Ben, thanks for being here on the podcast. And I always appreciate you. And of course, if you need some help, folks, again, reach out to someone, have a conversation for yourself. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast or share it with others who might benefit from the message. And you can find all that information in the show notes. This has been Untold Valor. Thank you so much for your time.
You've been listening to Untold Valor by Voice and Vision. We hope you found the information and resources discussed today helpful. As always, thank you for listening and for your support.
Remember to stay connected with us through our various social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Don't forget to visit the website, voiceandvisioninc.org. That's voiceandvisioninc.org, where you can sign up for our blog and find free resources and information on upcoming events, webinars, workshops, and get support. You can also access our free help and hope guide for individuals and families struggling with substance use and addiction. If someone you know is struggling, please reach out for help because you and your life matter. Remember, the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is available to you at any time by dialing 988. We are all ambassadors of hope and recovery. And if you want to share your story, please contact us. Compere Corps is also looking for veteran mentor volunteers and veteran participants. To find out more information about Compere Corps, please call 610-541-0790. That's 610-541-0790. You can find all the links and contact information for the resources mentioned on today's episode by checking the description and the show notes section of your app. Thank you again for tuning in and for your support. Until next time, this has been Untold Valor.